Would you put your hands together and just give God some more praise right now? Just take a moment, a little praise break. Thank Him for His help. Appreciate these young people. You really can sense the presence of God. This is only half of them. If the other half could have come tonight, we couldn't even put them on a platform. But you can. And is that the preaching table up there? Is that what that is? That's either put me a glass of water on the table or the preaching table. It's going to be one of the two. You can be seated. Thank you so much. And I just want to let Pastor know how much I appreciate it. I was looking at this youth group over here. All the young people over here, stand up. Is this the youth group? Stand up, all you young people. Wow. Amazing. And Pastor was not aware of this, but we have our Warrior Fest coming back. And if you've... they know. And it's at Omega Center International, and we have, I'm not even going to tell you how many is registered. I'm going to go way under the actual number. We have over 5,000 registered young people. And we can get them all in there. We've got the system set up, but I want the youth group. You're 30 minutes away. It's April 5, 6, and 7th, Friday night, and all day Saturday, etc. But Eddie James, Catherine Mullins, Elidia Mara, who's Delindo Cooley Jr. of her generation. Oh my goodness, so many coming. Jensen Franklin's daughter Courtney is coming, and she's a preacher and a half for the younger generation. My daughters Amanda, Nick Walker, the dance team, Jacob's Tent. So perrystone.org, just check it out if you'd like to. One more thing, real quick. Show me that book, Charlie. I know you got a book here. If you watch our program. This is a book that has just come out, and it's right now going faster than any book I've ever written. And when you see the title, you might know why. Artificial Intelligence versus God. They are trying to create God men. And this has so many chapters, I'm not going to take the time to read it. I would encourage you to get it because there will be revelation here you're not getting on the news, and I'm going to prove to you from the Bible. San Francisco, I'm on TV in San Francisco. They don't like this book because it's the AI center of the world right now, what they're building. I told them it's going to fail. In the tribulation, AI will collapse, and it's going to be a mess for everybody on the planet. And a lot of your prophecies in the book of Revelation are because of this, and you need to get it, and we got a couple boxes. So, Charlie, raise your hand. Charlie, I'll see you back there. Thank you for inviting me, Pastor. I remember Clayton Brown saying, "Welcome to the Camp Meeting Church in North Georgia." Come on, who remembers Brother Brown? And I was with Jensen Franklin, 15 services, and a great revival that broke out, greatest revival I ever saw. And we were talking about how we used to come here with George Stevens and Jensen and me and George and I, a whole list of preachers, and Craig Stone, and we preached in the old church. Charlie reminded me of something, and I am going to preach, but just listen to the story. That one service, I had my foot on the beside you and one up on there, just like this, just preaching up a storm in the old church. And I said, "God, I wish somebody would run." And I didn't know what was about to happen, but about 50 men took off running at one time. And I mean, they were going every direction. It was a traffic jam. They were bumping into each other. And they got so excited, they ran outside the door and ran around the church outside in the parking lot and fell out. Come on, anybody remember that? And back in that day, when you left the parking lot at night, you had to have people out there to move people's bodies from getting run over. I'm telling you. So, Pat, you have a great pastor, and I'm glad to be here, and I want to get right into the Word. I'm going to give you the title up front. The Life You Have Left. And it's a little bit different, but I want you to bear with me because this is what the Lord put on my heart. I want everybody that's over 60 to stand. Everybody over 60, stand. I know some of you are having a hard time getting up. I know you've been sitting there. Everybody over 60, stand, okay? That's about 35% of the church. No, maybe 40. Okay, you be seated. For you that are younger, you need to hear this because you're going to go there one day. I remember a preacher looking at me when I was 18 years of age, and he was an old retired preacher, and he said, "Let me tell you something, son. Here's what's going to happen to you. You're 18 years old right now. You got your whole ministry in front of you. But you will blink your eyes and be 65. And that was a long time ago. And I'll be 65 this year. And I thought about that preacher. I never thought we'd still be here, to be quite honest with you. When God speaks on earth, it is one of four things. An instruction, go into all the world. A correction, do not do this. A direction, go to a place called there, Genesis 22. Or it's a question. And when God asks a question, it will either involve who, what, when, where, or why. Questions that God asks. Adam, Genesis 3:9, where are you? Verse 11, who told you that you were naked? Verse 13, what is it, Eve, that you have done? Those are three questions in one chapter about one situation. Chapter 4, Cain, God says to him, why has your countenance fallen? That's verse 8. Verse 9, where is your brother Abel? Two questions in that one chapter. Five questions from God just in two chapters in the book of Genesis in the beginning. Exodus 4, verse 2, he says to Moses, what is it that is in your hand? If you know anything about life, here's what you will soon discover. That you will be a teenager, you will move into your 20s, you will enter into your 30s, you will eventually get to your 40s, and then you will get to your 60s. If you know what it was like and you remember, but when you hit 40, it's like you bypass 50. And the next thing you knew, you were 60. I wish I could get some help up in this place tonight from my 60 and above. God's going to ask you a question. Let me say it this way. God, if God could ask you the question at every age that you're at, I believe I know what he would say. In your teens, the number one question God would ask you is, have you been born again? Because train up a person when they're young so that when they're old, they're not depart. So when you get into your teenage, which is the level of understanding, which is the age of accountability, God wants to ask you this question. Have you accepted me yet? It's time for you to accept me because today's the day of salvation. Now, when you get into your 20s, that's usually when people are seeking a career. So the question God will ask you is this. Are you praying for my will to be done? Do you pray every day, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? So as you're searching what you're going to do in life, the question God wants to ask you at that age is, are you praying fervently every day, God, not my will, but your will be done for my life? That would be the question in your 20s. When you get into your 30s, most people, not all, but most people have entered marriage, and by that time they have a child or two. And so this is the question the Lord would ask you. Are you raising your family in my house? Or are you so caught up with your career? I'm going to make a statement at Omega Center International. We have a Tuesday night service. And Pastor Brian said that there was a family. It's a very good family, by the way. Nothing wrong. Great family. But they have a business. And they used to be so faithful. But I don't see them much anymore. And I said, where are they at? And he said, well, they were telling me that their business has prospered so much that they can't get to church on Tuesday. I said, I've got a solution for that. I said, because I remember a guy that was paying tithe on $8 an hour. Then he made $10 an hour, and he made $12, and he got to $15 an hour, and he said to the pastor, Pastor, it was a lot easier for me to pay tithes at $8 and $10, but it's harder at $15. I'm going to have to back up. The pastor said, here's what we're going to do. I'm praying God will take you back to $8. So my solution for that family is I'm going to pray God will stop blessing you so you can get back in church. Because the question for you in your 30s is, are you spending time on your house or are you spending time in my house? So don't forget that. If you're a young couple in your 30s, that's the question God's going to be asking you. When you get into your 40s, you have now developed your career, your job, your income levels. You know what you make. So the question God really begins to deal with you in your 40s, and I would even say in your 50s would be this question. Are you supporting my work? Are you giving? Are you just storing it up for yourself? I talked to a relative the other day, and we were talking about this, how that people spend their life working hard and making money and having bank accounts, and they sit on them. And they're like 75 and 80 years of age. They're not traveling. They're not going to conventions or meetings. They're saving it for a rainy day. And what happens is they die and leave it with a bunch of ungodly kids that waste. So the thing you've got to understand is God wants you to invest in his work, because your reward in heaven will partially be based on the works that you did here on earth. But when you get to the 60s, where's my 60 crowding up? Shout at me, somebody. I want to talk to you. God's going to ask you a question. And he really dealt with me about a week ago. I wrote this out. I wrote everything I'm preaching tonight 1 week ago. And he said, this is the question I want to ask everybody at the church at Dalton that you're going to preach at on Wednesday night. I want to ask them, what are you going to do with the life you got left? Because we're going to talk about that. We're going to go there for the next few moments. What are you going to do with the life that you have left? See, when you're a teenager, let's just be honest, it's all about you. You know, selfie. What does a selfie tell you? Self. It's all about you. When you get into midlife, it's all about your family. But as you get older, you'll discover that you start thinking about other people more. And you start saying to yourself, have I really made an impact? Have I lived my whole life and really done the will of God? Did I miss it somewhere and knew I was going to miss it, and have done this whole thing, this whole life journey, and coming now to a final road, did it really mean anything? Did me working myself silly for 15 hours a day really matter when I can't even physically get out because I overworked? Stay with me now. Here you go. The Holy Spirit told me to tell you this. The biggest mistake for all of you over 60 in this room is to think it's now time to retire and sit back and let somebody else do it. Got quiet now, didn't it? I tell you what, it's really. I'm going to tell you what you need to do. You need to revive and thrive. The reason that we sit back and we say to ourselves, we're going to let the next generation take it. It's now time for somebody else to step up to the plate. Do you know why we really say that? It's not just because we're up there in years. It's not just because we're near retirement. It's not just because maybe we don't feel as strong as we used to. I'm going to tell you what the real situation is. Anybody want to hear shout yes?
Yes.
Because we are in paralysis, because we get stuck when we don't know the future. How much time do I have remaining? Will I be in health, or am I going to have assistance? Do I have enough finances to retire and continue? What if something happens? Do I have enough to live in the event of an emergency? Will my children really take care of me if I really need them? Have I really done the will of God, or is it too late for me to step up to the plate and finish strong? I want you who are over 60 to say this with me as loud as you can. The rest of my life will be the best of my life. Hey. I want you to say it again. Say this with me. The rest of my life is going to be the best of my life. Now, do you want me to prove it to you from the Bible? I got a couple funny things. Look, what I'm about to tell you in just a minute is absolutely hilarious. And I don't even know if I can tell it without just sitting down and cracking up. Abraham gets Sarah pregnant when he's 99 and she's 89. I want to know what they ate back then. Because all this pill stuff they ask you to take, it gives you headaches, trust me. Did I really say that? I'm glad Pam's not here. She's had shingles, so she didn't get to come. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus, help me, Jesus. Pastor, you're rubbing off on me, whatever that spirit is that's on you when you preach here in this church. I know how you preach. I know, okay. Anyway, I mean, it is pretty remarkable, right? 99, 89, she gets pregnant at 89, all right? Now, she was a very attractive woman. How do we know that? Because twice, two kings thought that Abraham had told them, which he did, this is my sister. And that was partially true. I don't want to get into that. That's a whole other story. But he was afraid that they would kill him and take the story. And so she's very beautiful to look upon. I think the Qumran scrolls, there was a scroll about Sarah that was discovered. And when they translated it, it talked about she was one of the most beautiful women on the planet. That to look upon her, she did not look her age. Now, come on, ladies. How many of you want to know what the secret was? Come on. I need some ladies to help me preach. 90 years old and she doesn't look her age. And she's so beautiful that at about 90, guys are wanting to marry her. I claim it. See, that's what you're supposed to be doing. Where's my lady? Where's the women in the house trying to claim it? I'm going to get better the older I look. Come on, somebody. Help me here. Those timelines on my face ain't going to, anyway. All right, here we go. So she has Isaac, and she is so connected to him. I wish I had time to preach this. This is another message. She did not let him get married. The guy was in his 30s, like 37, when he finally got married. Mama wouldn't let him go. I know I probably should not say this, but I have an aunt named Aunt Millie who was my favorite. She was my greatest fan. She had everything I ever printed, everything I ever wrote, everything I ever did in history of the ministry. She had a son named Billy. Billy is 72 and never been married. And I used to say, Millie, why isn't Billy married? Well, I don't know. He's just picky. No, Billy's been engaged 5 times and not been married. Now, he's my cousin, and I can talk about it, and he would probably laugh if he was here. Okay? But I had another relative tell me the reason Billy never got married is Millie would run the women off. Now, I've not asked Billy that, so I probably shouldn't even have said that till I asked Billy if that's really true. But Sarah, this was her miracle baby. She had to die before he could get married. Read it in your Bible. He did not get a bride till his mama died. And then he goes in, this is what the Bible says, and then after he gets the bride, he goes into his mother's tent, and your Bible says, and he is comforted because for the death of his mother. Are you kidding me? You think Jacob was a mama's boy working in the kitchen while Esau is the man of man's and he's out there hunting and little old Jacob's in there cooking porridge and stew and he mama's boy? No, you want to talk about mama's boy? Isaac was mama's boy and he's 37 years of age when he gets married. Amen. Now watch this. Abraham is old and stricken in years, your Bible says. He's lying on his bed. And he takes his servant, whom we believe was Eleazar, he said, put your hand under my hip and swear to me that you will go into the land of our ancestors and find a wife for my son. Now, Abraham, watch. Everybody say he's old. Laying on the bed. Can't get up. So, he goes, Eleazar goes, you know the story, goes to a particular home of a relative, finds a beautiful woman, brings the woman back. Isaac marries her, goes into his mother's tent. Sarah has died at 127 years of age. That's how I know how old Isaac was when he got married. Mm. Now, Isaac marries Rebekah, goes into his mother's tent. So Abraham, who was old, in Genesis, lying on his bed, having a man grab his hip and make an oath, finally sees Isaac married, and at 137 years of age, he remarries. He marries a girl named Keturah. I do not have time to develop this, but I have a friend who went to the rabbinical sources. Now, this is going to blow your mind. He went to the rabbinical sources, to the Hebrew name Keturah and the traditions of her, and rabbinical sources will tell you who Keturah was. The woman that Abraham married after Sarah died was Hagar. Now, Keturah is a whole nother name. I understand that. It doesn't say Hagar, but this guy gave me 3 pages of research that blew my mind, and we ain't going to get into that. That's the greatest restoration in the Bible, next to a sinner getting saved. If that's true. Wait, I'm finished. And had 6 kids. Please tell me, what was he eating? Somebody help me with this, please. I'll tell you what my Middle Eastern buddies said, but I'm going to stay away from that to stay on the subject. They do have a source in the Middle East. Think about what I'm saying. He renews his body. He renews his thinking at 137 years of age, remarries, and obviously if he's remarried and he has 6 children, I told you it's going to get a little freaky in the house tonight. You didn't believe me. I know you didn't believe me, but I just wanted to. Genesis 25, is where you find the story. One of the references to this story I'm talking about. Now, so my point is, even though he was old, he stopped acting like he was old. Even though his wife died, which brought, it brought great pain to him, he didn't live in the pain of his wife's death. He remarried. He not only remarried, he decided to have more kids. And he had 6 boys that are named, that are the sons of Keturah. And her name is mentioned in the Bible. Huh. I don't know about you, but that's the kind of renewal I need. Where's my men in the house? I need some old men in this house to kind of get stirred up and say, bless God, if Abraham can come alive, why can't I come alive? I wish the wives in the church would help me about your husbands and say, hey, he's preaching to you, honey. Just listen to what the preacher says tonight. He's preaching to you. Oh, I'm glad you paved the way for me, Pastor, the way you preach for this. I just want to give you the verse, Genesis 25, 1 through 2, so you know I'm not making this up. Abraham took a wife. Her name was Keturah. She bare him Zimram and Jokshan and Medan and Midian and Ishbak and, boy, those names. Let's go to number 2. We're talking about renewal. What you going to do now with the rest of your life? Are you going to lay on the bed, not get up, because things haven't gone your way? You've really lost somebody you love, and that's hard, trust me. I'm not underestimating that whatsoever. But what? It's your choice. It's your choice. What will you do with the rest of your life? What will you do with the time you have left? Job is an interesting book because this man was the wealthiest man in the East. He was a man that was perfect before God. He had thousands of animals and livestock and sheep and camels. He had 10 children. They had their own homes. And the Bible again says he was the greatest man in the East, and that would probably be the Middle Eastern area. And all of a sudden, all 10 kids are dead with a storm. All of a sudden, the homes are destroyed. All of a sudden, all the animals are either destroyed or stolen. All of them. There's nothing left. All of a sudden, in chapter 2, his health fades. And the Bible talks about the skin worms, that he had boils breaking out on his body. This guy was the epitome of sorrow and pain. Job is a book about human suffering. I don't know how old he was, but I've checked with scholars, and they estimate that he was in his late 60s. I thought he was much older than that, but he wasn't. And I can prove it by the end of the book. But he was in his late 60s when this wealthy man, wealthiest in the East, that everybody wanted to hear talk, that when they came to the city, they wanted to meet Job. They wanted to meet him at the gate. All this is in the book of Job. Now his breath is weird. His breath is so bad, nobody talks to him. His friend, three friends who come to comfort him are criticizing him and trying to explain to him why he's such a bad person. That's why God did this to you. Then all of a sudden, I want you to stay with me because I want you to catch this. All of a sudden, in Job chapter 42, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord gave him twice as much as he had before. And it even says he had seven sons and three daughters in the beginning that died, and he ended up getting seven sons and three daughters in the end. And it specifically tells you that the last three were prettier than the first three. Don't you tell me God can't make you better looking than you are right now. Come on. Don't tell me that when you go through your trial, it doesn't age you. It will age you. It'll turn you gray. But baby, when that gray hair comes out with the curls in the back, everybody talks about Perry Stone got them nice curls in the back of his head. That's right, baby. Right there they are. Look at them. Come up to me just now and said, I remember you in 82 when you had black hair. People come up to you and say something like that. And I'm not a smart aleck, but I like to be funny. And one guy said that to me. I remember you when you had black hair. I said, yeah, I remember you when you weren't as big as you are now, too. What about that? Now, so he's in his 60s. He loses everything, and it went on for months. Nothing is reversed. Then it says this. Job, God turned his captivity. Now listen to the verse. When he prayed for his friends, when he began to focus on just letting the people go that were bad-mouthing him, letting the people go that were telling him things that were not from God, he finally forgave them and let them go. And when God says, man, if you can let these guys go and you can forgive them, I'm about to reverse your captivity and I'm going to give you double for your trouble. Ha, ha, ha. Hey! And I usually preach Job 42 and 10, which I just read to you, where God gave him twice as much. But then look at this. This is your verse. All you 60 and older bunch scream, this is my verse. It's verse 12 of Job 42. And the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning. It says in the scripture that your latter end shall be greater than your beginning. Is there anybody? Now, we think of the opposite. We see ourselves, man, back in the day I was up here and I had success and I had a business. And now I'm just kind of like deteriorating and getting older. I feel it every day in my bones, my joints, my hip, my whole, blah, 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 blah. And then we see ourselves sliding down a sliding board every day and every year, and it gets worse the entire time. But I'm trying to encourage somebody in the house to say this, that Job not only got a double portion, but if he had it happen when he was 70, the Bible said he lived to be 140. In case you didn't know it, that's double the years. It's also said that he lived to see four generations. Most people live for two generations, but he got double the generation. So what you need to understand is this. In this idea of God restoring you in your older age, it really does not matter what you've been through, nor does it matter how difficult it was. God will say to you, do you have the faith to look at me and say, your latter end is going to be greater than your beginning? Do you have the faith to say, if I'll do it for Job, God, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. If I do it for Job, I'm going to do it for you. So here's what I saw in this Job story when I found out that a lot of scholars believe he was in his 60s when the trial came. I realized that 65 to 70 is not really the peak. 65 to 70 is just the transition. Did you? Now, like, three of you that got that are going to be blessed and live a long life, I'm going to tell you. Okay, let me say it to you this way. I want you to say it real loud. Where's my 60 and older crowd? Wave your hand. Are you still with me? I got to see. Say this with me out loud. I'm getting old. But old ain't getting me. I'll prove it to you in a minute. My great-granddad Pete was Italian, full-blooded, from the toe of the boot in Italy, and lived to be 93 years of age. You know why he ended up in a nursing home? At 86, he climbed an apple tree and fell out. Wow. In his backyard, climbed an apple tree and fell out. And broke his hip and had to go to nursing home. 93. My granddad Bava, who was his son, lived to be 84. My granddad Stone, who was my dad's dad, he would be my grandfather, lived to be 83. And he had a rough life. He worked in the coal mines, had black lung. He still lived to be 83 years of age. My dad, who suffered very extensive physically with very severe diabetes, extremely severe diabetes, but he still lived to be 78 years of age. My mentor, T.L. Lowry, lived to be 87 years of age. Now, my mother lived in her 80s, and my mother would go to work every day in her 80s. 82, still working. 83, still working. Recently, and this is not going to be a long message, I'm almost to the end of it, but I want to share a couple things with you, some points. Recently, I went to see a woman who has been so instrumental in my life from a young teenage preacher. She lives in Pulaski, Virginia. When I met her, she worked at a bank. She is the most godly woman, and my wife is a godly woman, so I know women who are very godly women. Don't make me, you know, think one is above or superior to the other, but she is probably, all in all, the most godly woman I have ever met in my entire life. If there is such a thing as a Proverbs 31 perfect woman of God, this woman is. I've never heard her be negative. I've never heard her criticize anybody. She would pray sometimes 1 to 3 hours a day. And she, in 1981, God spoke to her and said, "You pray for Perry because his ministry is going to be worldwide." And I was just a kid preacher preaching in churches back then. And said he's going to need a prayer base. And she built a base, are you ready for this, with 1,500 praying women. And all they did was pray for me and Pam and the Voice of Evangelism Ministry and the staff. That's how I built a building that cost $22 million, and it was paid for before we dedicated it. She prayed the money in. I'd say, "We need $3 million." She said, "All right." And she'd go pray, and she'd stay up all night and pray. She prayed that God would awaken the spirit of a millionaire. God did. God awakened a millionaire that gave me $14 million. Not me personally, but the ministry. That's how it was paid for. If I called his name, everybody here would know him. And it ain't Donald Trump, by the way. Because everybody would leave saying, I think it was Donald, honey. Yes, probably Donald. I believe it was Donald. No, I had to say that because I know how people are. They're going to wonder who it was. Okay. Now listen to me very carefully. I'm going to give you a little bit of testimony here. I have been preaching since I was 16. Now, I want someone who's good at math, because I am not. I will be 65 June 23rd. I started preaching in April at 16 years of age. Someone estimate for me or calculate for me how many years I have been preaching since I was 16. Huh? 49? Is that really? Mm-hmm. That means my jubilee's coming. I can't take that whole shot. Now, How many of you believe 49 years is a long time to do anything? Like if you worked a job or something, you know, say, well, I've been working 49 years. Most people work 30, 35, 40. They retire at 65. Well, see, I don't intend to retire, but I've said to my wife, it was my fault. I can't blame nobody but me, but I was working on a commentary on the Bible that took 7 years, 150 messages a year, plus 40 messages for Israel a year, plus writing on contract 7 books I had to write, plus the Voice of Evangelism magazine, plus answering emails every day, plus doing YouTube videos, plus doing television programs, and I had a collapse. Some of you probably heard a lot of crazy stuff. There's a lot of crazy stuff that was said that was a bunch of, never mind, almost said a word or shouldn't say. Just total nonsense. Belligerent demons. And so we just let that go. But I know what it's like to have your body shut down. And you don't know it's shutting down, and it shuts down, and you can't do nothing. And I'm going to tell you, I got so tired that I got to a point that I would have given away all my ministry to whoever asked for it, just so I wouldn't have to do it. Now, that's tired. That's called burnout. That's called burnout at both ends. And I didn't see it coming. I thought I could handle it. Let me tell you, I'd wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, get a shower, and be at work at 4. Come home at 10. Then, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I'd fly out, and I would preach 5 to 8 times every weekend and be the first person back at the office on Monday. And I did it for 7 years. And you can't do it. Running 3 ministries. I didn't tell you about having to do 80-page outlines for the school. I had to do that. There's a whole lot of stuff. I didn't tell you about every Tuesday night at OCI, I had to preach. Every Thursday night, I had to be over prayer. It was absolutely nonstop. And when Elijah sat under a tree and said, kill me, I don't know how a prophet of God could want to sit under a tree and God kill him, because you burn yourself out. Go look at what the guy did. He climbed the top of Mount Carmel. I've been there. Try to climb it. It's a job. He climbs to the top. He rebuilds an altar with rock. He then slays animals, puts them on the altar. Come on. He then gets off of there and takes out 850 false prophets of Baal, crosses there, goes meet outruns the horses of Ahab. A horse runs 35 miles an hour. 35 miles an hour. He's running as fast as a horse to the city of Jezreel, which is 8 miles from Mount Carmel. And then Jezebel says she's going to kill him, and he goes, ready, 110 miles to Mount Horeb, sits under a tree, wanting to die. Well, hello. Hello. Look at what you've done. You're gone, baby. You are burnt. You are gone. You've stayed up nonstop. You didn't rest. You didn't sleep. And Moses got tired of the people. And Moses said, dear God, have mercy. God said, I think I'll kill him. God said, if you're going to kill him, kill me too. Just kill me too. I'm just ready to go too. And Moses even said to God, these people be too much. I can take you to the Bible. I can show you. Paul got to the point. Read it. I'm now ready to be offered. You know, he goes to Jerusalem. You read the book of Acts. The Holy Ghost tells him not to go to Jerusalem. And he says to the people, after the thus saith God to the servant of God, you'll be bound in Jerusalem. And they cry, don't go, don't go. He says, I'm not only ready to go, I'm ready to die there. Paul had a death wish on him. He wanted to go die in Jerusalem and be a martyr. Hallelujah, get it over with. Praise God, hallelujah. End up in jail 14 years. He didn't die. He ended up in prison, writing prison epistles. He spent most of his life in jail. Are y'all tracking with me? So see, I'm saying to you that I know what it's like. And I know what it's like to say, you know, I'm tired. We'll turn this over. We can do this. I can always do that. I can pick and choose what I want to do. So my idea was pick and choose what you want to do. Do things your time, your way, and let everybody else have it, and who gives a rip? Because I want to tell you something. When you get in your 60s, if you're not there, you will hit a point that you don't care what they say. It got quiet. What happened to my 60 crap? No, you just get to a point. You know what they're saying about you? You think I really care? Do I really? You really? Look at my face. Do I look like I care? You just kind of seen it all. You've done it all. You've seen it all. You've been around the good, the bad, the ugly, in the body of Christ. You've seen the true thing. You've seen the fake thing. You've seen belligerent people. You've seen people that are in church that'll tell a lie about somebody and get up and spy, bye, 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 act like they're spiritual. I've seen it all. So when you've seen it all like that, you get to the point where you just say, me and Jesus got our own thing going. Okay, me and Jesus got it all worked out, right? So, just a minute. So my head prayer lady, and I've been doing good, by the way. I just want to tell you, I'm doing good. I preach when I want to preach. I go where I want to go. Having great revivals, seeing moves of God, TV programs reaching nations. We're having tens of thousands of people saved in foreign countries every month. Couldn't be any better. Okay, I want to up front tell you that. To God be the glory. But I'm going to see my head prayer lady thinking to myself, self, you've worked hard. You've been preaching all these years. Now, most people would slow down. Self, I think you need to slow down. Now, I collect sports cards. If you have a Mickey Mantle rookie, I'll be glad to take it off your hands. Because one just sold for $13 million. I don't have one, by the way. Y'all, I said, I'll take it. So I like sports cards. That's my hobby. I got certain things that I do. And I said, I can just do that and praise God. And, you know, people slow down after a while. The reason I'm preaching this to you is I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to help you because God helped me. So I go to see my 93-year-old head prayer lady who's going to go to heaven in a few weeks. So here I am figuring out, let's see, we could do this and we could do that. And yeah, that would be nice to do. And I'm getting this figured out, you know, 65, not going to retire, just going to slow down. And so I sit across from her. She has a little breathing thing in her nose. And I said, B, now has God told you anything about me? She said, yes. And if she says he has, write it down and take it to the bank. She's never missed it. What did God say? She looks at me and she says, he said to tell you, you stay close to the vision he gave you and don't back away from it. I said, uh-oh. Oh, sounds to me like God ain't done. Uh-oh. And man, my heart started pounding. I said, uh-oh, she's hit. She don't even know what I've been thinking about. And then she looks at me and she says, now the second thing God said, and I think I'm going to get a rebuke here, you know, is you ain't never too old to do everything he tells you to do. God almighty! Oh, my Lord have mercy. Woo! 93 years old. Now, I just want to tell you, and I'm almost done, but let me tell you this. Every now and then, you need to hear a word from God. And sometimes it's not a whole message. Sometimes it'll be one phrase. It'll be one scripture. It'll be one statement a person makes, and it hits you, and you say, oh, my God, that's it. So I've come by to tell everybody in this church, because the Lord did tell me that some of you have said, well, we're going to turn it over to the next generation. You know, it's time for me to just sit back and enjoy. Okay. I'm going to tell you what B said. You better stay close to the vision. And you're not ever going to get too old to do everything God puts in your spirit. Never. Never. I'm going to give you four things in 1 minute. So what should I do, Perry? Number one, teach others what God has taught you. It might be a small group. It might be a Bible study. It may be just giving somebody your testimony. Part of what you're going to do in the season you're in is teach everybody what you've learned about warfare, what you've learned about worship, what you've learned about prayer. You need to teach them. You need to talk it. Don't die with it. Talk it. Tell it. Number two, God wants you to enjoy the fruit of your labor. God wants you to enjoy what he's given you and the grandbabies and the family and the conferences. He now wants you. I got to say this. I have a, a very precious, so dear, one of my dearest cousins in all the world. One of the sweetest caregivers. Luke cares for her brother who had a stroke 30 years ago. Cares for a lady 72 years of age every day. She's 63 and worked for 37 years at a power plant. But I told her the other day, you have all your life taking care of people. You're 63. It's time for you to tell your family that they're going to take care of themselves and their kids are going to take care. And you've never even been to a conference of mine. And we grew up together as babies. And you haven't been to a conference. Well, I've been so busy. I know. It's time for you to get unbusy and do, come on, and enjoy the fruit of your labor and do something you like to do. What I'm trying to say, it is not wrong for you to be happy and do some things that you and your wife want to do. And I tell you what one couple told their kids. They said, we're spending all of your inheritance. They said, what are you talking about? They said, we worked hard and you're going to have to work hard because we're spending all of our money going to Perry Stone conferences all over the country. So you need to know that. I don't know what the family ever said. They both went to heaven to be with the Lord, so I'm sure he left them something. But he was a banker. And he said, we're going to enjoy our life. We're not going to sit around and put it in the bank for you. We're going to do something, and we're going to have fun, and we're going to have a move of God, and we're going to go to church, and we're going to get, oh my God, charged up, and then we're going to take it and give it to somebody else. So the Lord wants me to tell you, enjoy the fruit. Don't feel bad about enjoying life. You've worked hard. Take some of what you got in and just and teach your kids and your grandbabies. Number three, it's very important. Become an intercessor. Oh, God, we need those right now, man. We need people to have the time to say every day at a certain time, no matter what, it'll be early, it'll be at night, I'm going to get in my chair or go to my secret place, and I'm going to intercede, and I'm going to get a hold of God, and I'm going to pray for God to protect the church, protect the pastors, protect the ministries, to give us souls. And just like Aunt B, she prayed us through airplanes that could have crashed. Are you listening? Terrorist attacks in Bulgaria. She prayed me through that. And I knew what the secret weapon was. Prayer is a secret weapon. Number four, volunteer. Volunteer. In other words, become a volunteer. Pastor, what can I do? Anything. Just, you want me to wash the windows? I'll make these windows shine. People are walking and say, that's the nicest looking windows I ever saw in my life. Look at that carpet. Somebody done a good job. Yeah, I'm going to do it. And the other thing, and the Lord wants me to tell you this because he's dealt with me real heavy about this. Get in shape because we're about to have some moves of God and revivals that's going to go on and you're going to need it. I'm serious. There's going to be some revivals breaking out. Some of it will be in areas and you'll want to go. And you're going to have to get your body in shape, right? And really get yourself in shape. That's the fifth thing the Lord wanted to tell you, because the Lord really has spoke to me about this. One of my mentors, and I'll conclude with this. Anybody receive anything tonight? Come on. Anybody receive something from the Lord? Just bear with me for a few moments. One of my mentors was a man by the name of Dr. T.L. Lowry. How many of you knew of Dr. Lowry? Would you raise your hands and let me see how many? Dr. Lowry, I'm sure, preached here, especially I believe when Brother Brown was here. I'm sure he came here, and as many of you knew him from pastoring North Cleveland. He was one of the great healing evangelists, one of the great evangelists of our time. Dr. Lowry went to France and was at an airport and fell down an escalator and really messed himself up. Dr. Lowry was also in his house and fell and broke his hip. He broke ribs. He broke his hip. And I remember they had him. He had a place called the TLR Global Foundation Center where the ISO school is now. So that was his offices. I was on his board. And they called me. They said, he's at Life Care. Life Care, if you don't know what that is, that's a place where people usually toward the end of their life, they take them and they have 24-hour care there. And my dad was there. That's where my dad passed away 12 years ago. I said, oh, wow. So Brother Lowry would call. He'd say, Perry, I need you to come see me because I believe I'm toward the end. I believe I'm toward the end. And I'd get in my car. Sometimes Charlie would go with me. I said, we got to go see Dr. Lowry. We'd pull up at Life Care, and he'd be sitting up in that bed. And he says, I just don't know why I feel it, but I just need to see you one more time. And then I'd go back to see him three days later. Charlie, am I telling the truth? I said, I need to see Dr. Lowry. Well, he's not here. And I think, oh my goodness, where is he? Well, I don't know. The nurse around there probably can tell you. So I'd go to the nurse. They said, oh, he checked out this morning. He flew to Daystar to be on TV. He was dying when I saw him. I'd get a call 2 weeks later, wouldn't I? Am I telling the exorcist, saying, Perry, you know, God has been good to me. And I've had to impart to this next generation, but I really need to see. I believe we're coming toward it. And I want to see my son one more time. And I'd go over there and we'd sit there. This happened. And 3-4 days later, Dr. McGuire, how's Brother Lowry? I haven't seen him. Oh, well, they tell me he's preaching up in Northern Virginia. He'd get out of that place and be preaching. If it happened once, and here's a man that is my office manager, can tell you, I'm telling you, it happened 8 times. If it happened once, it happened 8 times, that we would be called in because he was passing. He was going. Just like Paul. I'm ready to be offered, okay? And then he'd be preaching, and I'd turn TV on. He's sitting in a chair. Bring him up here. I feel the anointing. Hallelujah. Boom, 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 boom. They'd drag him off the platform. He'd come back home, go back to life care. I tell you what, fellas. In fact, they called me in a place I was preaching and said, this morning, Dr. Lowry died. I said, I don't believe it. I said, check it again. I've seen him die 10 times and he never died. And so I will use that story and conclude with this as a point of humor. The T.L. Lowry Global Foundation Center is in Cleveland, Tennessee. Sits up on the hill. Some of you might know what it kind of looks like, the White House. It's got these big columns. How many know what I'm talking about? Sure, okay. If you're ever in Cleveland, just go near, what's it near? The mall, across from the mall up on the hill. That's Brother Lowry's old building. I'd go in there, and he had an oval office, for real. Because he said, if the president can have one, why can't T.L. Lowry? So he built an oval office. I'm serious. He's got an oval office. And I'd go in there, he said, now, Perry, I feel that I built this for you. I said, Brother Lowry, I'm building a $22 million building. I don't know what I'd do with this. He said, Perry, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost has spoken to me. You know, and he owed what? How much? Three and a half million, was it? No, he got it down. He got it down to 1.5 or something, but he owed money on it. And I bet you, if he told me once, he told me 10 times, Perry, you better pray about this building. This has got your name on it, son. And I said, you giving it to me? He said, well, look, we owe $1.5 million. Can you see him doing that? You can hear him, can't you? Well, listen to this. Listen to how God works. I was in bed. I feel the Holy Ghost man all over me telling you this. I was in bed and I woke up. Dr. Brian Cutshaw and I had been talking about starting an internet Bible school. And I heard God say, the Lowry building is the headquarters of the Internet Bible School. What? Now, this building's worth about $6 million now. So I went to my board and I said, God told me to do something, and this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pay the building off. When I went to pay it off, he said, Perry, it needs a new roof. Can you add another $100,000 to get that roof? Yes, Dad, I can do that. And I said, God told me to give him $10,000 a month the rest of his life. Now, what scared me was he was never going to die. And I told my wife he will live to be 110. And I'll be giving him $10,000 a month, and a $4 million building is going to cost me $12. And she said, did God tell you to do it? I said, yes. She says, well, you better do it. So I walk in, I said, I can't go wrong by giving to a prophet, and you're a prophet, so here's the plan. I will buy your building and pay the debt off. You're not going to make anything. I'm not going to, I don't have the $4 million to buy. I'm building another building. But I'll buy your building for one, it was about $1 million, And I said, I'll put that roof on for you, but I'm going to give you $10,000 a month. And I said, you call the board right now. So help me, when they called the board, it was 100%. And the weird part, I gave him two checks, for $10,000 check in December and a $10,000 check in January, and he went to heaven in February. His son is a good friend of mine. Steve said, you killed Dad. I said, I did not. He said, yeah. He said, let me tell you what. Can I tell you what held Dad here? What held Dad to this planet was this building. He was concerned about what would happen to it, and he wanted it to go for the gospel and nothing else. And when you bought it, I saw it in his eyes. He was ready to go. Isn't that amazing? But I never will forget. I never will forget. 87 years of age he was when he went to be with the Lord, because he just wouldn't quit. He never saw himself as getting too old to preach. He never saw himself as getting too old to travel, because he'd say, as long as these legs will walk, as long as I can stand on my feet, I'll preach this gospel. If they gotta hold me up under one arm like Aaron and Moses, an underarm and an Aaron and a Hur, I'll lay hands on everything walking in the I heard him say it, and he would do it. Now, I just got to do this. Let's move this. Dustin, where are you at? You want to move that back up there? All right. I would call everybody up here that's over 60, but that's not what I'm supposed to do. I'm telling you tonight, God wanted to send a word to some of you that in your mind have allowed yourself to settle back thinking, you know, I just probably can't do what I used to, or maybe it's just time for me to go to church and just enjoy services. And the Lord's trying to recommission some of you and say to you, it's all up in your head. You got to change your thinking, because he's about to do something in this place. You all already see it. And there's going to have to be a lot of help from, okay? The younger generation has the technology, older people have the theology, and you got to have both to make this thing work in the last days. Every one of you, if you have said to your, I don't care if it's one person, if God sent me here for one, I will be happy. But if you're over 60 and you've been saying to yourself or thinking, you know, I don't quite have it like I used to, the edge is kind of gone. You know, I had my day, I had my time, now we're going to let pastor in this younger generation. If you've said that, the Lord's not rebuking you for saying it. The Lord is encouraging you to tell you that ain't what the plan is. That's what he's trying to tell you. And if you want God to recharge your spirit, the outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed. And you've thought that, you get up here right now. Come up here and join me right here on these steps, right here in the front. Come out of your seat. And even if you may be not quite 60 and you've been thinking about, well, you know, I'm a few years away and I think I need to. So come on, we're gonna get some renewed people in this place. Look at this. Well, aren't you glad the good Lord spoke to me and sent me here to give you this word? Aren't you glad you needed to hear this, didn't you? You really did. You really needed it. This is not just a sermon. It's not just a message. Man, you can sit at a laptop and take prayer requests from people. It's not that you got to get up and go all over the place. You can stay right where you're at and do something. And all you have to do is find out what it is. That's all you've got to do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Is everybody up here? Everybody else stand all over the building. Would everybody stand and put your hands up in the air in Jesus' name? Just put your hands up. I'm going to pray over you, and I'm going to pray a very specific prayer for all of you that are here, and all I'm asking you to do is 100% agree with everything I'm about to say out of my spirit to the Father. Amen? Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, you gave me this really simple thought. What will we do with what we've got left? What will we do with the time we have left? that every one of these men and women that are here have said what you told me that they were thinking. Maybe it's time for me to step aside. Maybe it's time for me to just enjoy the house of God, let somebody else come along. And the Lord said to them tonight, just like he said to Aunt B, stay close to the vision. You're never too old to do the vision. You're never too old to keep doing what he put in your heart in the beginning. So I'm asking you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, that you will renew their mind, and most of all, you'll renew their physical body. Renew their mind and renew their physical body. The strength that they need. Show them, God, if they need to change their lifestyle, if they need to change even how they're eating, to give their body different strength. I'm going to ask you to touch every. We need them, God, in Jesus' name. This church needs them. The body of Christ needs them. And I'm asking you in Jesus' name to refire them up into something they can do. And God, never let them say it's not significant, because if one person gets reached, that's worth the whole thing. So I ask you in Jesus' name. And God, every hurt, there's three people down here, God, that you just told me carry a hurt from a long time ago. It's way back. This goes way back. But they still carry that. And they have put a wall. You've put a little bit of a wall up. There's, you'll go so far in the things of God. You'll go so far with what the Lord's told you. And then you'll cut it and you'll stop it short because you saw, well, I don't want to try that again because, boy, I don't want to get hurt. So you put a defensive wall up to prevent yourself from getting hurt. And I just say to you, and you had a confrontation one time, and it turned very, one of you, one of the three, and it turned very, very verbal. And since that time, you backed up because you didn't feel like they were listening to you, and you didn't feel like nobody cared, nobody's paying attention. And you know, they said you were belligerent, and maybe you were a little bit belligerent. I'm not saying that's not true, but I'm saying this to you, that whatever wall you've got to put up, you've got to get your spirit back. You got to get your heart back into it. And if you need to repent and say, pastor or leadership or whoever it was, I'm sorry for that. I've got to get this right because I've got to continue to do whatever the Lord's put in my heart. Raise your hands now. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for every one of them right now that the Holy Spirit, that word of knowledge will go forth right now in Christ's name. And Lord, you sent me here for this service. I thank you for this service. I thank you for everybody here. Would everybody that's filled with the Holy Ghost, raise your hand and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost real loud right now. Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the anointing of God, by the power of God, by the anointing of God, let the yoke be broken. Let the yoke be destroyed because of the anointing. Let the power of God be released upon every one of these. Let it be a new start and a new beginning, not looking back, but saying, what is it now, God, that you would have me do? Everybody raise your hand and say, what would you have me do, Lord? Come on. Father, what would you have me do for the work of God? What would you have me do in intercession? What would you have me do in giving? What would you have me to do in a ministry? What would you have me to do, God? Help me, Lord, not to quit. Help me not to give up. Help me to lay aside every weight, everything that hinders me, God, where I can do what I need to do. Hallelujah. Now, everybody put your hands straight up in the air and begin to praise God out loud, would you? The Lord is ministering.
Hey, I'm Pastor Jamie, lead pastor here at LifeGate Church in Dalton, Georgia, and I just want to say thank you for choosing to worship with us today. We hope that whether you're watching this live or you're watching this at a later time, that it brings value to your life. We would love to have you join us in person if you're ever in the Dalton area. We're at 2744 Cleveland Highway in Dalton, Georgia. If you'd like to know more about what's going on or how you could get connected with us here at LifeGate Church, just go to lifegatedalton.com. We would love to get you plugged in some kind of way and let us know if there's any prayers or anything we can do for you. Once again, thanks for joining us today. God bless.